I went to the school I wanted to take my graduate program at, and I talked to the dean, and I was like, I don't really want to do that. And he's like, and they wanted enrollment, because it's like any graduate program, right? They're like, he's like, so tell you what. He's like, but I was on, see, we talked about this a little bit. I was on probation at Purdue the entirety of my time at Purdue. I'm not kidding. I was on from second semester freshman year until the end. And I needed a certain GPA my last semester of college, my fifth year, in order to graduate.
It was
to the point where I was driving over to Hovde Hall, because when you're going to graduate, remember, they don't mail your grades home. I don't know if this is the same as it was when in the dark ages when I went, but you went over to Hovde and got your, they handed you your grade report, so you didn't have to wait, because graduation was a week later, right? So I went over there, like, hands shaking and sweating, and I'm like, everyone's planning to come out here in a week. Now, I think you could still walk even if you didn't graduate. You just wouldn't get a diploma, which is, talk about a hollow. I'm very good at that, Anish. I'll do some
deadlines.
What? Yeah. Oh, I need to do that? All right, I'll do it.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. Deadlines and minimums.
I can't tell you how many papers I did it overnight. I'm like,
I don't know. Who has written a paper in advance, really, though?
There are people. The people who got good grades in college did, I think. Yeah. I'd have a paper due, and I'd be like, all right, got to sit down. Well, I need to have dinner, so let's go have dinner. Okay. Then I'd be like, all right, I'm going to work on this now. And I remember vividly my roommate, who was the worst influence. We both would do this to each other. He's like, well, I'm about to put a movie in. And I'm like, well, I can watch a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie.
Start the paper at like 11 or 12, then write till like 4 or 5, take a nap, go turn it in. I can't tell how many times I did that and somehow got away with it. Stupid. Welcome to a special bi-week edition of the Handsome Hour. Jay, joined by Anish.
It's me.
Hello.
Hi.
It's a bi-week. It's a 2-3 team, best 2-3 team in the nation.
Best 2-3 team in the nation, I think. I think you're 100% right.
And I want to start off by not forgetting this week, thanks to our friends and partner, Martin Vintage, our sponsor. We love them. Go to martinvintage.com, and if you buy anything, we'd like you to buy Purdue stuff. Anish is wearing a beautiful Purdue Boilermaker football shirt with a throwback Pete right now that you can't see because this is radio, not television. But whatever you buy, if you enter boiled at checkout, you get 20% off. We'd like you to buy Purdue stuff, but you don't have to.
Do they only have, I thought they only had Purdue stuff.
No, I don't think so.
I know they're gonna.
I thought they had branched out to other lesser schools.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
I don't look at anything else on there, Anish. Yeah, exactly. I look at his Purdue stuff. I don't
exactly.
Know.
This one's all faded, so I'm gonna need a new one. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
new one. Yes. So, welcome all to the Handsome Hour for this week. 5 weeks are gone. I start to get sad because I look at the season flying by. We are one game away from halfway. It's
passage of time. We're all gonna be dead soon.
It's just everything's so fleeting and flies by, and
it's fun though. It's been a fun season.
Now it's starting to creep in for me though, that those ones that got away is starting to bother me.
That's okay. I mean, like,
if 3-2, they should minimum be 3-2. No, we said at the start of the season, you said what they need to be at the halfway point heading into that Ohio State game to feel like, okay, something crazy, something fun is happening here. And I think we said, right, 4-2 is where they needed to be. 5-1 if you wanted to be a magic season. And they could be 3-3.
They could be 3-3. And that's not bad.
Frankly, they're going to be favored.
Yeah.
In the Illinois game.
Yeah.
Now, here's another one. Not that, again, we do minimal prep. None really, right?
Yeah, that's more accurate, yes.
Minimal, zero. But I like to. I'm a fan of weirdo random stats, and I wonder the last time a Purdue team that was under 500 was favored in back-to-back road conference games. Dave, ooh. Dave, look that up.
Yeah,
no, Dave. I'll bet you that's almost never.
Back-to-back conference games, losing record.
When you're a bad Purdue team.
Had to be early. Yeah, had to be early in the season, because late in the season, that's never going to happen. Yeah, I don't know if that would have happened during the Tiller years.
It could have happened pre-Tiller when In fact, back when I was there, when they actually were decent, like they had Allstott and they, but they never started those years poorly. They always started 3-0, 4-0, because they started, you know what they were then? They were Indiana football then. Mm-hmm. Start the year with these 3 or 4 wins. Everyone get excited. And they'd win 2 more games all year. 1 more game. They'd tie 2. I think 4-5-2 was one of my first years at Purdue. That was fun.
4-5-2?
Oh, they had 2 ties one of those years.
That's phenomenal.
It was awesome. Well, there was not only was there no overtime, there was nothing. It wasn't like you'd play a little and then have a tie. If the fourth quarter ended, it was over.
I guess I don't remember 2 ties happening in a year. That's great. I don't
know what year it was, but it was a Coletto specialty. That dude had a lot of ties.
It's like the Frank Beamer gif where they end 0-0 Virginia Tech and somebody at 0-0 and he's pumping his fist. It's the best. It's really the best.
Everyone uses that all the time. There's one out there that I've been wanting to find the perfect use for, and I forget who even uses. Probably one of the it was Ramsey at 11 Warriors, who's a very funny guy. Do you remember the Big Ten Network commercials where all the football coaches were writing on a dry erase board and you were looking at it from the other side?
Mm-hmm.
What Hoke was writing, Brady Hoke, and there's a still that Ramsey has, and he sends it out whenever someone's getting mouthy, and it says football is complicated, and it's got Brady Hoke's dumb face. And it's so perfect. I wish that one got more traction because it's so great. Let me look here. I'm actually looking up. Yes, 1994. Yes, that would be my freshman year at Purdue. Jim Coletto and Purdue went 4-5-2.
Tremendous.
It was adjusted to 5-4-2 by the NCAA. I don't know who was cheating that year. But then the next year, they went 4-6-1. So he had 3 ties in the course of 2 seasons, in the course of 22 games.
Phenomenal. Coletto.
Exactly. Well, he played for ties. They'd have a chance, and he'd be like, nah, kneel down. We're fine. They played. Let me see here. 23rd ranked at Wisconsin, 23rd ranked Wisconsin, and Purdue was 4-1. So Purdue probably was close to getting votes, right? And they go on the road and they tie 27-27. Then they lose the next week, get destroyed by Ohio State.
Gotta be
concerned. Then they go to Iowa. No, sorry. Then they host Iowa and they tie 21-21. 2 ties in 3 games. Oh, it was great.
Gotta be conservative. Unlike our current coach.
Oh, gosh. So fun. So fun. Well, he's conservative when he needs to be. One of the things I noticed, and one of my initial observations about this game, was Jeff Brohm continued to show that he and his coaching staff will do what the situation dictates, with exceptions sometimes. But I think when I pointed this out last year, when they beat the crap out of Missouri, they didn't do anything real special and got this hugely. And then the second half, they didn't do anything because they didn't need to. They just sort of sat on it. They didn't run it up. They didn't need to do anything. They had nothing against Missouri. There's no reason to lean on them, whatever. And they weren't fighting back, so fine. His defenses have adjusted against Missouri this year, for example, where they clearly played differently. They played more aggressively because they had to, the both sides of the ball in the second half. And then I think this week showed that again, where Purdue got out to a lead, I don't think by doing a lot special. That first half, couple drives ending in field goals that shouldn't have, right? You've got a nice little lead. And then when Nebraska finally got their act together, it got us all nervous, but Purdue adjusted, right? And he opened the faucet back up and said, all right, fine. We're going to have to score. Fine. Let's score. And what did I say to you guys? I said it on Twitter. If Purdue could catch the ball on Saturday, they would have had 50 points.
No, I mean, the biggest problem was, you know, the gifts of penalties that both Nebraska and the referee sometimes were giving Purdue, and Purdue wouldn't take advantage in the first half. I mean, the first half should have, at the end of the first half, it was 20-7. Was that right? Mm-hmm. Because there was a missed field goal at the end, it was almost 20-10. And I think that would have actually given them a little bit of a carrot to go after in the second half. But 20-7 is not that there was 8 points left on the board because there are 2 instances where they kicked field goals instead of touchdowns when they were gifted great field position. And the other thing, though, on the flip side of that is that the fact that Spencer Evans hit his field goals today, he was perfect, 3-for-3, was a huge part of Purdue maintaining that buffer, that comfortable buffer, so that Purdue could stay aggressive defensively, which is the real big thing, extraordinary thing in the first half. The only thing that they did exceptionally was defense, the adjustment. During the first two drives, I think Nebraska was, I mean, Martinez was a beast. He was a beast all game.
Yep.
But the adjustments that the defense made to keep him on his heels and to contain, to do their best to contain him, except for like third and long, which he converted 14 of, it seemed like, that was the big adjustment. And mm-hmm. that's what allowed them three and out over and over again in the second and third quarter. And that was kind of that and the field goals were like the buffer that Purdue needed. And then, like you said, when in the third quarter, it looked like, okay, going to have to dial it up here. That was when the Bryson Hopkins, like leaning on Bryson Hopkins happened, which it's about time. I mean, like they're so comfortable with Blau, particularly so comfortable with his tight ends. Just keep leaning on it.
Really good tight end options.
Yeah, just lean on it.
Thing. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, it was just nice to see a Purdue team though, that could just kind of reopen it. They needed to open the gap a little and widen it back up. And they did. But you know, a lot of Purdue fans started, it goes back to that thing I remember asking you guys kind of on our private chat a while. No, I did ask it on Twitter years ago. And I said, how big a lead? And I think I asked it in that weird Hazel win over Nebraska when they put up 55, because they were up a ton in that.
It was 54-45, I think was the final score, because it was close.
Got hairy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Purdue was up, I want to say 42 to, 17 or something. That's not exactly right, but it was like that. It was out of hand. And I remember saying, how big a gap would you need to feel like, okay, I could turn it off, I could walk away? And most fans were like 100.
Yeah.
Especially that era. But even now, that has lingered, right? Like, you're a Purdue fan. You know the bottom can drop out.
The heartache is always just a mere second away.
Because you know why? You could look at that game, and Martinez was getting his act together, right? And Nebraska suddenly looked, and you could see the headlines forming, sort of, right? Scott Frost wins his first and turns
over plucky Purdue.
Well, this is when it all happens, and I'm so glad. And I'm so glad Purdue got them, because Martinez is going to be great.
I hope I wasn't too effusive with my praise in the post game, but I think he's going to be a superstar.
He's a freshman.
I think he's
good.
And he with 2 years of Scott Frost. God. I mean, you know what's crazy is that we have played now three or four quarterbacks that Jeff Brohm would die for. Like that Jeff Brohm would die to coach. Well, and not to say that Blau has been tremendous. Has been
great.
But
Anish, nothing short of great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's not been serviceable. He's not been a good fill-in. He's been great, great at the quarterback position. I mean, I don't think here's a serious question. Is there anything you could have asked more of him in his last three starts?
No, absolutely nothing. Not. This is why I've been leaning Blau the entire time during this, is that though the ceiling isn't as high, I do think he can get there, and the ability to run, which he displayed on a couple of second and longs, third and longs, that is such a necessary, like, you need to have that linebacker a little bit distracted by the quarterback's legs to open a few things up, to allow Jeff Brohm to open a few things up. Case in point was the Bryson Hopkins touchdown, which is among the most creative, of the non-trick play bland call varieties. Mm-hmm. That's one of the most creative plays I've ever seen, because there was play action where they were in shotgun play action. The running back looks like he's taking the handoff. Blau pulls it away. The line looks like it is shifting to the left, to the weak side, and looks like it's run blocking. Then all of a sudden on the edges, the running back is running a wheel route. The outside wide receiver, I think it was Sparks, is running a post. Friggin' Rondale Moore is doing something, so Nebraska is panicking. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, David Blau and the linemen are kind of fading to the strong side. And all of a sudden, with all of that, David Blau's legs, the fake run, the wide receiver threats. All of a sudden, Bryson Hopkins is wide open in the middle of the field. That's all you need. And that wouldn't have been possible with Elijah Sindelar, because the threat of him running is not a threat. It's not really a threat. Blau can. And so turning from three misdirections to four leaves a wide open tight end. And so that those kind of plays, that's what kind of uncorks the playbook, the Brom brothers playbook. And so that's always been why I wanted David Blau to get to win the job, to grab the job and just say, this is mine. It's my senior year. I'm the quarterback. Right. And it looks like both injury and his play have kind of dictated it, right? I mean, I just finished the season out. Don't even make it a competition.
No, I agree. I think he'd have to go off a cliff in terms of productivity at this point. And that's fine. You know what? He's earned it. And that's the thing here. You know, we all like both guys. I mean, there's nothing not to like about guys. I'm so happy they're both on this team. I'm so, so happy they represent Purdue. And in the end, if David Blau leads this team to a bowl game, like, you know what that would look like? You know why you can still be happy? Because last year, look what Elijah Sindelar did when he was needed. And look what he took them to, and look how he finished. You can say this guy was part of the group, similar to that 97 team that brought Purdue football back. So don't feel bad. I mean, you want to feel bad for him, fine. But I'm saying it's not like he hasn't gotten his moment of glory, and he did lead Purdue in a way that was needed.
And I don't think he transfers. I don't think he transfers over the offseason.
It's not over. He's the guy next year, barring something kind of amazing in camp. And I think what we've also seen, we've talked about this on our show too, but we've seen that he plays a lot better when he knows he's the guy. Yeah, exactly. Blau's not coming in. I think Blau plays the same almost no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, he knows there's a chance he could
get in. High floor. Very high floor. He doesn't,
David Blau plays however you ask him to play. And we noticed that early when they weren't asking him to stretch the field at all because they were trying to be conservative. That's what he did, and nothing happened.
Yep.
Move the ball. Now they started, you know, Brom admitted that in the Missouri game. We're going to fire away, you know, we're going to try to win, you know, and shoot our shot. And they did. You know, before we move off Nebraska, I just have to say there's a couple of funny things. I was a little surprised at I guess I shouldn't say surprised. The fans were really mad at the officials. But what's really strange to me is they have a really undisciplined team that's had penalty problems all year. So to get angry that way and act like that's the reason you were getting walloped is a little weird. And related to that, I saw on Twitter someone writing an article about how I couldn't believe it. It was like they were dragging their fans. They said how different things would have been if that Akron game hadn't been canceled.
Had been played. Yeah.
Oh yeah. You know, it'd be different. You'd be 0-5 instead of 0-4.
Now the pressure to get that first win for Frost is
they
high.
Lost to Troy, man.
The loss to Troy is tough, though Troy's coach is very good. But I think that Louisville, if they're looking for a head coach, I'm just saying, Neil Brown at Troy is phenomenal. He's a really great coach. Truly, like, this isn't sarcasm. Neil Brown at Troy is amazing and should for the Louisville's and
great
of the world. Oh yeah, he's huge. He's huge in Louisville, I hear. But for those caliber of schools, Neil Brown is the guy that they should aim for. So I am completely sincerely saying, Louisville, if you're looking to move on from Petrino, you should hire Neil Brown. Neil Brown's great.
If you're asking,
that was a question. I just blacked out for a second. Sorry. What just happened?
So the next, I do want to finish my Nebraska piling on, because here's their next. I don't know if you've looked at this, Anish. This week they got a 7:30 BTN game. That's nice, but they're at Wisconsin. Ooh. Then next week they're at Northwestern. Then they host Minnesota. Then they have a game they can win, but then they go at OSU. But before they at OSU, they have Bethune-Cookman coming in as a makeup. Bethune-Cookman signed on to play them after the Akron rainout.
Oh,
It was a bye week for both, and they agreed to play it.
Oh, interesting.
So 10:27, they're playing Bethune-Cookman. So thank goodness for Bethune-Cookman, because that may
I don't know. Northwestern, Minnesota, one of them could be wins.
They could be.
PJ Fleck. You never know.
Fleckster. Oh, he's... I want... we talked about this last year. I want a PJ Fleck show.
Yeah.
I would watch.
A reality show. How, yeah. Now,
yeah, just follow him around.
At, yeah. Now that he's not at Purdue, yes, I would like just a PJ Fleck around. Reality show.
Exactly. He's got to be... Oh, and keep a camera on the guys he's talking to see how many times they roll their eyes.
Or they're just like... Just searching for something. Like,
what is that? What is he saying?
Just give me adjectives.
Turdville. Like,
yeah.
Oh man, that guy. That guy. Oh man, he's so fun. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that because one of the great things happening this weekend, and I'm just jumping around in no particular order, but Purdue's next opponent, Illinois, has a game this weekend. Purdue does not. Do you know who Illinois plays this weekend?
I do not. Please inform me.
The Rucker.
Oh, they play Rucker. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
What a game. What a game. What a sport. I want... Okay, so for games like Illinois-Rutger in the 2018, year of the Lord 2018, we should get soccer announcers. We should get
Irish, exciting.
Scottish soccer announcers who have never watched football, are vaguely aware football is a sport so that they know a little bit, mm-hmm. but I would like them to announce it with the majesty and the gravitas that is associated with that accent and them announcing a soccer game. That's what I want, because why would you watch that game?
So I might watch it because I'm an idiot who likes college football. And for some reason, this sort of thing, you know, I won't watch it. It's the noon game on BTN, but there's a lot of games on.
The noon game. What do you think?
No, but I'm
10 a.m.
It's the noon game. It's lucky it's not 9 a.m. Exactly. Well, and you know, Boyle Sports East, there's multiple TV options. So when I say I'm going to watch it, I mean, it'll be on one of the secondary TVs.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this, just, you know, we like to talk about the Big Ten, and Purdue's not playing this week, so let's talk about this. So the matchup predictor on ESPN, what do you think the percentages are set up as far as Illinois-Rutgers? Like, who's going to win? It's at Rutgers, because, you know,
they're
on the records when they're playing at Rutgers.
Hey, nobody comes into Rutgers.
Nope, really. I don't know if they do. They do. They show – you were there. They showed up. It was not they bad. Show up.
Those poor souls.
Remember how nice they were to us as we were walking away? They were thanking us, and it wasn't like a snarky, like, bitchy. It was like, thanks for coming, guys. It was like,
sure. Sincerely, thanks for spending money on the local economy. I think, do you have the spread up?
Oh, gosh, you want these sorts of, yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Illinois, do you want to know what it is?
I was going to guess Illinois by like 2.
3.5.
Ooh, okay. Goodness gracious, Rutgers.
My goodness, Rutgers. You're an underdog at home to Illinois. Again, think of some of the weird anomalies going on right now. Illinois is favored on the road by more than a field goal.
I mean, a winless Purdue, not a win, like, you know, a one win Purdue team was favored on the road at Nebraska.
Which was amazing.
And we all predicted wins. We all predicted confidently. Because we're all lunatics.
Bad.
But yeah, we saw that there was a vulnerability.
I still don't understand what's wrong with Nebraska. That was the other thing. So I know we said we were moving off that, but I even messaged the coordination guys and I said, this is not me being a jerk at all. And it was like during the third quarter. And of course, that's when the wheels started to come off for Purdue. But I said, what the hell is going on? I said, did Riley leave the cupboard bare? It doesn't seem that way. It seems like there's talent on that team. And he said, I'm still personally trying to figure it out. I really don't know. Like, they shouldn't be this bad. I think we can agree there. They should not be getting...
It's undisciplined, right? I mean, like, mm-hmm. it was kind of like the beginning of this year for Purdue, where it was just these nonstop game-losing personal fouls. Like, you know, roughing...
But they're 4 games in. Frost, to be fair, Frost should get this under control. He really should.
Hey, it's give Frost a while before I blame him. I mean, like, if they're at 0-6, 0-7, yeah, sure. But
they're going to be 0-6. Let me just make that clear. Yeah. They're going to lose to Wisconsin and Northwestern.
I don't know about Northwestern, but yeah.
Northwestern is going to need a win bad.
They're going to need
But as you know, as you've seen me put on Twitter, nobody wins after they beat Purdue.
Nobody. No, they're
0-7.
That's
the record
that's
of teams that have beaten Purdue this year are 0-7.
That's so insane. That's insane. Not even Eastern Michigan?
Nope. Nope. Jeez. They've lost their two games since.
And then Northwestern has one win.
Sorry. Northwestern has lost three, right?
Yeah, they're only at one win, I think. No, they've lost four. They must be 1-4.
They must be 1-4. Whatever it is, it's seven. I think Mizzou's only lost one because they were off this past week.
That is phenomenal. No, they're 1-3. Yeah, you're right. So how is that a thing still?
It's weird, right? You can't.
It's like the boogeyman.
So back to Illinois Rutger. What's the picks? What's the so 3.5 is the favorite.
Yeah.
What do you think the matchup predictor, the ESPN matchup predictor
said? Oh, 17-14. I have no idea.
No. Percentage win.
Oh. So, well, I guess if Illinois is getting 3.5, but I would still put it at like 55-45.
Really? Okay. They got it at 63-37.
Yeah.
In favor of Illinois.
Illinois, yeah.
Illinois has got to be. You know, licking their chops, as the expression goes. So Rutgers quarterback, Sitkowski, he's 57 of 115 for 483, two touchdowns, eight picks this year. So suboptimal.
Yeah, that's not great. That's not great. That's like a David Blau single game, like not the interceptions thing, but I guess there was only one, right? So.
He's only got one pick on the year.
Yeah, so that's a David Blau game you've actually described. Would you say 46 for 73?
No, that's the Illinois QB.
Oh, that's the Illinois quarterback.
He's a game. 46 for 73 for 422, three touchdowns and a pick. Yeah.
That's a David Blau game. Yeah.
Yes.
Not bad. It's a good one. He's going to need ice for his arm after that game, but that's a game.
Oh, man.
What a weird year for the Big Ten.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not good at all. I mean, the cream of the crop was Ohio State, Penn State.
Yeah.
And, one of them is going to end up probably – Ohio State's probably going to end up in the playoff, but they're not the best Ohio State team that we've seen kind of recently. They're actually pretty weird.
One thing I'll say, because Patrick Vint and I both – hurled little not big bombs but little ping, little things over in the direction of Ohio State after Penn State farted out that finish the other night.
Yep.
And Ramsey said that he said if he wasn't enjoying it so much he would report us both for harassment. Response was, but what Patrick said was, oh, leave beating OSU to the professionals. And I replied and just said Danny Hope. And Ramsey didn't like either of those. But what I loved about his response was it was like a tacit acknowledgement that just, I'm going to report you both because I don't really have much I can say.
Hey,
because,
guys.
Well, what I wanted to reply back, and I'll say it here, is if Purdue's facing a 4th-and-5, down a point to Ohio State with the game on the line, it's not going to be a zone read.
No. It's going to be some kind of a weird...
It's not going to be that shithole Pat play that they called and that Franklin has yet to explain. When he was asked about it, he went into some weird, like, coach speak soup, like, about all the things that they need to do better, and he never answered the question. It's like
he gave the Tebow speech, you know, except for coaches.
Except that he lost this same game by a point last year, too. So,
yep.
You know, when you're making calls like that in the crunch time, it's not so good. So, yeah, I mean... Penn State's still going to put up a great record. Ohio State is. Michigan probably is. I mean, at this point, Michigan, they look better than they did early on. But man, the West, mercy.
This is bad because I don't think this year's, I mean, Jonathan Taylor, but I don't think this year's Wisconsin team is all that phenomenal. I think they're good. They're very good. They're Wisconsin. They're never going to be bad. But again... You start to look at that early record and you do start to see those early losses for Purdue and you do start to see where those stumbles could have given way to something that could have been
Northwestern. Yeah. They're first in the West right now.
It's crazy. Because
nobody has more than one win in the West in the conference. And Northwestern's technically in second place at 1-3 overall with a 1-1 conference record. So Purdue's right behind them. Now I know that it's going to start to separate as they play more games, but man.
Well, and again, that's what next year. Like, that's what next year is for. This year is proving that last year wasn't a fluke.
Right. Which they're starting to look that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Blau, you know, Blau wouldn't have played like this under the previous regime. So it's like, this is, you know, all of these are real results. And so let's continue it out through the year. Still keep the bucket as the, you know, as the goal for the end of the year. Still keep a bowl game, a 6-win bowl game as the key for the end of the year. And the thing is, the problem now going forward is, and I think you articulated this, is that you have no more, if a bowl is still your goal, you have no more room for error.
Nope.
Like none. Nope. Because you have to grab Illinois, you have to grab Minnesota, you have to grab Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to
still need one more.
Then you need an upset. Right. And all of the other ones that are left, Ohio State, nope. Michigan State, meh. Iowa, meh. Wisconsin, nope.
Well, I don't think you should Sharpie these games yet.
I wouldn't. No, I'm not going to call in what's his face to Sharpie him. But
that's ours, not what's his face's. That was ours first. You've heard this before. We did the Sharpie thing long before that.
Yeah, but you don't want to take credit. What's in Seth Davis? You don't want to take credit.
We did it years before
him. Yeah, but just let him have it. Just let him have it because it's just poison now. I don't know. I one of those maybe, but you got to sweep the table with the games that you're supposed to win.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't happen. I mean, like,
no, right. Not when you're a team that's rebuilding and still some of these guys are learning. You got so many young guys on defense. You got freshmen playing cornerback. But here's what I'll say. And this team like OSU is going to expose that. They're going to expose that. That's going to be a game where you're going to have to score a lot. And that's where the trickery has to come out, because you're going to need something to put them on their heels. You're going to have to do something. But let's say,
I think that's what they did last year to Michigan too. And Michigan wasn't a powerhouse last year like OSU is this year, but and this right after I say OSU isn't as good as they usually are.
Well,
but the first game of the first play of the Michigan game was that trick play, right? So you know, that was another, you know, that, yeah, that's another game where you do pull out all the stops.
So what's interesting too to me, everything's interesting to me, but after an 0-3 start, let's say Purdue goes next week and just pummels Illinois. Let's say they put up another 45. They went like 45-10 or something. Let's just say that. Everybody's going to get back on the bring on OSU bandwagon. You know that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. At 3-3, after an 0-3 start, everyone's going to be like, we're back. It's fine. Everything's back on track.
I'm still predicting a loss, but
Sure. But I hope that game turns out to be a night game at Ross Aid.
That'd be another really fun one. I mean, like,
that'll be fun. That'll be fun. But yeah, I agree. And if I had to pick one, if I said to you who's going to win against Ohio State or Wisconsin, now I'm starting to be like our readers, what do you think is more likely? I actually think Ohio State, because Purdue seems to believe they can beat Ohio State. That's a Purdue thing, right? Wisconsin, nobody's alive on that team that saw them beat Wisconsin.
Yeah, but the matchup might play a little better. Now, I mean, Jonathan Taylor's probably going to run for a million.
Yeah, but OSU has more athletes is probably what you're going.
Yeah, exactly. And you can, you a running-based offense can't play well with, down 14, right? So if there were... So if there were ways to put Purdue, if there were ways to get out to a quick 10-point lead, all of a sudden you have them on their heels.
Right.
And they'll be trying to force things. And that's when it could possibly happen. No, I don't think any of this is going to happen. None of this. I don't think any of this is going to happen. But still, Jonathan Taylor's really good. That's really all that I have to say. 6.2 yards per carry is, it's not bad. It's not bad. I'll tell you that. It's not bad.
Do they have Rondell Moore, or is he on Purdue still?
He's still on Purdue. Why are you eating? You have there's one moment in your day when you don't shove food in your face. You're like down now. You're like boiler down. You've hung out. You guys have known each other.
Peanuts too long. Next to me. I couldn't help it. Sorry.
Man, both of you. There's just
I'm hungry. You have to feed the beast. I didn't eat enough tonight.
So we got reader questions. Where are we going, quarterback? Reader questions?
What's the matter? Is this going off the rails?
Oh, it's off the rails. We're off the rails now. It's a bye week, though. We can afford to be off the rails a little bit.
Yeah. One thing I did want to stop and talk about is a guy that we feel very fortunate is our friend. We can call him our friend. I think we can. I feel honored, though, to be able to say that we know Tyler Trent. And if you don't know Tyler Trent, then I don't know where you've been. If you listen to us and you follow us at all, you must know him. But if you don't, check out our Twitter feed or just search on Tyler Trent and learn about him. But we learned just before we went on to record tonight that Tyler did get, and I give credit to people who are suggesting this, because I wonder how much of this was a grassroots idea. And, you know, it seems like it was, but Tyler was awarded an associate's degree today by Purdue University. He's partway through his second year. What is he? He's partway through his fifth semester.
Yeah.
No, third semester. Sorry. I think he's a sophomore. Yeah. And he was awarded an honorary. They say honorary, but Anish and I were talking about it, and we think he actually might be a real associate's degree because he's a very good student. He took a lot of credit hours. Remember, that made a lot of press last year that even when he was sick, he was taking 21 credit hours. So he's probably earned himself that associate's degree. So,
And you guys are best friends because you met him before any of us met him. You met him when he was covering the game out east in New York City.
He was covering the Big Ten tournament. That's right. And we hung out together. We sat next to each other on press row. I loved that he was covering games for the Exponent. He was a sports editor, a columnist.
He still writes, I think.
He does, but he had to scale back his workload, and now he was doing just occasional like weekly columns, which you can find on the Exponent. But yeah, he was what I loved is he was like totally accepted and press row by all the regulars, like DeFabo and Nathan Baird and all those guys. Just checked in and said hello to Tyler, and he was just like one of them, and I loved that. And what it's cool is it's setting them up for, you know, becoming a journalist, and that's what's it's very cool. It's very
for
cool.
Sure.
That's not really something I don't think he went to school for, but it's something he's actually really good at.
If you follow your passions, right? I mean, like that's the thing, and this sets him up. This sets him up perfectly. And so, but you know, tiny setback for now, but it'll be you know, but the associate's degree is an honor, you know, and you know, an honor to call him a fellow Purdue grad. It's very cool.
Yeah, it's. And, you know, when somebody's struggling with stuff like this, I find myself sitting there, you know, you feel helpless always, right? When you're healthy and he's not, and you see people putting up with more than, you know, getting sick, getting ill, even getting cancer, fine. Okay. These things happen. But when you see him just get repeatedly smacked, and it makes you angry. It makes you, question a lot. It makes you, you know, complain about the fairness of it. And one of the things I've tried to put in some of the tweets and some of the posts we've written is I wish that there was a way for us to share the burden. I wish there was a way that we could fight for him. So, you know, I think of Stuart Scott, who I was never a huge fan of when he was on SportsCenter, but I remember his ESPY speech and him saying, you know, you fight and then when you get tired, you lay down and you let somebody else fight for you. And I wish there was a way we could do that for Tyler because there isn't anything I wouldn't give to help take someone. When I see someone, especially someone we know, just dealing with that and dealing with it with grace that I don't, frankly, I mean, think about it. The guy's on camera. He's doing videos. He's got to meet people in his home. Like, I wouldn't want anyone I'd be curled up under a blanket.
Even something so little, maybe it distracts, but because I haven't gone through that, but like Twitter, like being coherent.
Oh, he's so responsive too.
Calm. Yeah, exactly. And eloquent on Twitter while you're doing all this is like, it's a sign of a great writer, right? Because it's a sign that your thoughts, the number one trait for a great writer and a great orator is organization of your thoughts, like knowing exactly, like intention. Right. And so, and the way that you can tell, you know, even when he was on the podcast talking about the basketball team before the before the tournament, is that you could tell that, I mean, he's a natural. He's a natural, you know, whether it's writer or things like this. So it's like, oh, he'll be set up well. So yes, we are honoring him on the day that he has received his Purdue degree. He's the best.
He is. So if you're a fan of Tyler, Just let them know you're thinking of them. I think that also helps too. When people are dealing with this, you know, hearing people, he's mentioned that about how it's lifted him up and how he's just felt. Just let them know you're thinking of them.
Donate to Dance Marathon, donate to Riley, whatever little thing that Children's Hospital.
There's a post, Purdue Cancer Research. There's a post on our site where we put a couple links, but obviously, you know, it may seem small, may seem trivial. You may not have a lot, but you know what? If it pushes things towards a place where and it's not even a place, it's not a specific finish line. You can speak to this more, but it's research, right? It's, it's more is needed.
Yeah. I work at a children's hospital. You know, half of my research is done at the Pittsburgh Children's Hospital, and it matters. It matters. Mm-hmm. Like, and it makes the, the small dollars make, you know, you might get a new paint job in a, in a waiting room and, or like a new set of toys or whatever. And it's just like, those things are the things that matter. Not, your $10 or $20 isn't going to go to cure cancer, but it's going to make them feel better. And sometimes that's the real fight. And so, and you let us, the scientists, worry about, with the cures and things like that and the treatment. So, yes, it all makes a difference.
Right. That's a great point. Like, it's not that you're going to cure cancer, but if I said to you, hey, you doing this, you donating this $15 might make someone's day a little better. That's fine. Yeah. That's all you need to do, isn't it? I mean, wouldn't you do that? So yeah,
100%.
That's what I look at with
donating. Go for it. We'll put it in the link to the, in the podcast description as well, but yes.
So do you want to, pivot to, from a subject that matters to the stupidity and wonder of our readers, and life, in the most loving way possible.
Life is nothing but about balance, you know? That's what life is. Life is balanced, yin and yang. Yes.
Oh, when it's at its best. Yes, absolutely. So, all right. So let's, I was going to say, we didn't really talk too much more about the, because one of the first ones we got was someone trying to troll old Frosty a little more on winnable games. And the one thing I just like to say, sort of in Scott Frost's defense, we all know what he was saying.
Yeah, we all know what he's saying, for sure.
Was more winnable than their Michigan game.
For sure.
It absolutely was. He said winnable. He didn't say, we have a game we're going to win. His quote was never, this is in the bag. His quote was, well, at least maybe they're not going to get destroyed this week. So,
yeah, but it's motivation.
That it was a lot more innocuous than any of us made it.
100%.
And Brom knew it too, and that's what was great. But guys love that. And you know what? I've seen a few of you on Twitter, and I'll always say you're entitled to your opinion. But coming down on players for chirping that, I mean, you know.
At the end of the game, you're talking about, was it Jones or
Barron was doing it on the sidelines during the game. Markel Jones walked by Coach Frost and said it and was capturing the microphone. Which
that was great.
I think it's great. Like, this is not the same as those D-bag Michigan State players that used to chirp at Painter. This is response to what a guy said about you guys this week.
This is what sports trash talk is supposed to be. Right. It's harmless. It doesn't really mean anything.
It's clean trash talk, if there's such a thing, right? Where it's like, and a guy like Frost probably is sitting there like, yeah.
I mean, he played. He was a star quarterback. Like, he knows. He probably talked trash himself. So it's like, he's fine. He gets it. Yeah, don't worry about it.
So anyway, moving along to our reader feedback for the week. So we start off with some would you rather. Breezy, OV Breezy says, would you rather win against Ohio State but lose to Indiana, or win against Indiana but lose to Illinois?
Win against Indiana, lose to Illinois. Yeah. Because at this point, to be perfectly frank, the likelihood of a bowl game is what, 30%? 35%. I don't know what the win probabilities are.
No,
but it's probably somewhere around 1 in 3 shot at a bowl, I think, is about right. So if you're telling me to cash in that 30%, maybe 30% for the bucket another year, and probably keeping IU from a bowl game, yeah, definitely. Give me that one.
That's fair. That's give me not that bad. One. So Jason Ringer. JJ Ringer on Twitter asks, and he says, can this be a recurring feature? What's your Bobby Petrino Louisville panic index at this week?
400. He screwed that up. He screwed the end. So I don't know if you saw the end of the game, but I think it was something like 2 or 3 minutes left. He had the ball inside the 10-yard line, and he was going for it, just putting the game out of reach. And instead of running the ball, which would run the clock, which would get him a little closer, it'd probably put him in the end zone. He threw it, promptly threw a pick, and like 90 seconds later, they lost the game. Louisville is not happy with him, I think it's fair to say. I think that's the least that you could say. And that's why I think that they should set their sights on Troy Brown. Troy Brown, Neil Brown at Troy. It's all the same. They're the same guy. It's fine.
So with you always like this. So with 2:12 to go.
2:12. Jeez.
In the game.
Yeah, what was the win probably?
98.8. Oh.
Goodness, just run the ball. Did you not watch the Marshawn Lynch Super Bowl? Just run the ball.
Oh my goodness,
the ball inside the five. Just relax, don't try and think too hard about it.
24-14, with 10 minutes to go in the fourth, they were up and they lost. Yeah, so the meter is pinned, I would say. And they're gonna need to start turning things around because. I do think, I mean, I don't know if they want to pay Petrino to not coach there. I don't think.
Unless it super goes off the rails, assuming he still gets somewhere around 4 or 5 wins this year, I think they do give him another year just because that buyout is massive. And they'll probably, in reality, probably want to see what Brom does with one more year at Purdue. But yeah, I don't know, man.
So they're 2-3. 2-3. They go this week. They actually play a Friday night game. So there's something for you to watch versus Georgia Tech. So
here we go, Cardinals.
Oh, we're big Cardinals fans this year.
Huge.
Then the next week they go at BC, which we've already seen. They can be beaten.
The Boiled Cardinals podcast. Go Cardinals.
Then they go play Wake at home. Then they go to Clemson.
Oh, okay. Well.
Yeah, right. But then they at Syracuse. Ooh. Then they finish the year against 2 ranked teams versus NC State. Yes, NC State is 23rd now. And then you don't forget their rival is Kentucky, who's gotten their stuff together.
Ooh, they look good too.
They look really good and good for them. That's a program I have a hard time now. I know their basketball program.
The football, yeah.
But their football program, I have a hard time having a problem with them. Like they have suffered a lot.
Bad. It's bad. And Stoops is fine. Like he's the perfect coach for Kentucky because he's fine.
5-0, man.
Yeah, no, they look. That's not an accidental five. That's not a Curtis Painter 5-0.
No, they beat him. So the real impressive win they won at Florida, but Kentucky also won versus Mississippi State when Mississippi State was 14th. That was a big win. So, but now let's not forget this is an SEC team. They'll be chanting SEC. But let me read to you. Okay.
It's not great.
Starting off with CMU, Florida, Murray State, Mississippi State. Okay, legit. South Carolina. At Texas A&M. Yeah, that'd be good.
You can grab. Yeah, you can grab.
Okay, but here we go. Then versus Vanderbilt. All right. At Missouri versus Georgia. That's legit. Then at Tennessee versus MTSU and at Louisville. That's
what?
Yeah, that's their schedule. So
for an SEC team,
that's what I'm saying. They should now. Here's my thing.
Holy cow. 5-0,
they should win 10 games, Anish, because the only game they should lose is versus Georgia, and that's at home.
No, they're going to lose to Georgia because Georgia is amazing.
I get it. But could they?
Wow.
Get, what do they got? 7 games left. Can they go 5-2?
5. Yeah, I was going to say. I think that's the over/under is probably
4-2.
That's crazy.
Oh man. So yeah. MTSU the second last week, and then at Louisville, but with an at Tennessee tucked in there.
That's such a soft SEC schedule. But anyway,
it just needs more.
Yeah, exactly. We are paranoid. Yes, it's bad. It's very bad. It's very bad. We all should be rooting for Louisville.
Oh man! So our friends Mike at PU, Mike, I got your name this time at PU Falls Cities. Says this is an interesting one. He says, if you could switch a team in the West with one in the East to improve competitive balance, who would they be?
With the goal of improving competitive balance or as a Purdue fan? Because I would switch Indiana and Wisconsin. Rutgers. Yeah, Rutgers and Wisconsin. That would make perfect geographic sense.
To improve competitive balance. I guess it's all about perspective, right? I mean, in my mind, that improves it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That improves our competitive balance.
You know what I would say? I mean, we can give a real answer here. I'm not a fan of this kind of stuff. This is what happens whenever a division gets good, right? Like, and it happens at all levels. Like, there was a few years ago in the NFL where when the Seahawks, before they won their Super Bowl, they made the playoffs under Pete Carroll, I'm pretty sure, at 7-9. And everybody was up in arms. A 7-9 team shouldn't make the playoffs. Blah, 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 blah. And what are you going to do? Like, just not give the division champ? They were division champs. Like, I understand the division sucked, but then they went and they won their first playoff game. So divisions are, I've always liked divisional things because if you get a slightly easier road, well, that's the fun of sports. You got lucky. Like, we just read off Kentucky's schedule. If they end up winning 10 or 11 games this year, it's not like you're going to look back in 5 years and go, oh, that didn't count because they didn't have to play anyone good. Well, they still won 10 or 11 games. I mean, I don't believe in that because competitive balance moves around, right? So right now, Ohio State and Michigan State doesn't seem to be quite what they were. Michigan or Harbaugh has not gotten to where they thought they were going to get to. Is Penn State that good? I guess so.
And how? I mean, the big thing is how. The biggest question about your thesis here is that it's gonna swing back and forth. The biggest question, the biggest hole in that argument is Michigan State. Well, is Michigan State sustainable? Because Michigan State is what
their last 5 or 6 years. Yeah, but really good for a while.
Yeah, but what happens after D'Antonio? You know, that was sustainable. I mean, 10 years from now, is Michigan State still going to be good?
No, but that goes to my point. They may not be.
So that's the thing. If you think that inherently Michigan State is not a program that is supposed to be year in, year out, extremely good as they are now, then it will eventually even itself out because Nebraska will get better. Iowa is always Iowa. Wisconsin's always excellent. And there's always one more team, whether it's Purdue or Minnesota or Northwestern, that's good, that takes their turn being good. And if eventually Michigan State takes a step back, then all of a sudden you have three excellent teams and three just poor teams, three awful teams in the East. And that does the balance. Now, if you were to switch two teams, it would probably be Michigan and Purdue, right? That would probably help competitive balance. That would suck, but that would probably help competitive balance a little bit. I think, yeah, if you're going to do another one, it'd be Michigan, it'd be Purdue and Iowa, or Purdue and Illinois and the two Michigan teams. And that's how you kind of, that's how you divide it. That would suck.
I mean, it's not so crazy. Like, if all the coaches stay who are there now, and I mean like Brom and Frost and all that, is it crazy to think that in a few years, the West, it'll be like, man, who's going to win the West between Wisconsin?
I mean, if
it's Northwestern, Purdue, Iowa,
Brom stays, and Nebraska. If Brom stays for two more years, that will happen. So not the 19 season, but the 20 season, all of a sudden you're going to have Martinez and Frost, a juggernaut, I think.
Right.
You're going to have a Purdue team that's going to have that 2019 class good. And Jeff Brom. Yeah, it's going to be great. You're going to have Wisconsin, who's always excellent. You're going to have Iowa, who's always really good.
And if Flecky gets it together.
And then if one of the others pulls it together, or freaking Fitzgerald at this point. You know what I mean?
And by then, Lovey will have things.
Lovey.
Santa Lovey.
As a coordinator or.
Hey, now. Don't speak ill of Santa Lovey.
He'd be a good DC after Nick Holt goes to take a job.
So I don't know, PU Falls Cities, but he asks another question. And since they're our friend, and again, this is evidence that if you just pour bourbon for us, we'll forever be loyal. Yeah. So we always answer Mike's questions. He says, Would you rather the South End Zone project gets finished tomorrow, but Purdue goes 5-7 over the next 2 years, or Morgan Burke comes back and tears down the lights, but Purdue wins the West?
Tear down the lights. Yeah, tear down the lights.
Because then you'll bring them in whenever they need
it. Yeah, exactly. South End Zone is such an embarrassment. Going there in person to see it during the Missouri game, it's so bad. Like, I think it looks – I think we've just gotten used to it as Purdue fans. But if you look at it from an objective point of view, it looks like a wedding venue, like a reception. It looks like a wedding reception.
That's outdoor. Not a good one.
No, they wanted to cut costs.
Right.
And so instead, they just kind of put a tent outside.
Dinner the venue. Dancing under the tent.
Yeah. It's bad. It's really bad. I hate that.
I went to an outdoor wedding. At the very end of July in New York this summer, and I was sending you guys pictures of it, wearing a dark suit at an outdoor wedding.
That just sounds like a bad personal decision. You need to get on tan suit game.
You know, I had a tan suit. I didn't have enough. Actually, I think I still might have one, but yeah, it doesn't change that much. Wearing a suit is my point. Wearing a suit and a necktie and a shirt. You get an undershirt, a shirt, a jacket. And it's 100 degrees out.
You should take out the shirt and the undershirt, and you should just wear the suit jacket, and that solves your problem. It's nice and breezy. It's fine.
So one of the things I had said was that when I put the bat signal out, I said we were recording a new one in mere minutes. Send your thoughts, questions, challenges, would you rathers, cupcake recipes, secret plans to fight inflation, or whatever else you'd like us to discuss.
Timely West Wing reference.
And Miles Hanley wrote back and said, my favorite cupcake recipe is hosting the Fighting Illini next week.
Ah,
nice, Miles. Nice. See, Miles will be watching Rutgers in Illinois. Have to watch. If you're a Purdue fan, you have to watch because you got to scout. You got to see what Illinois is bringing to the table, baby.
I'm pass.
That's gonna be a tough game. No pass. You don't get to part of being a fan. So Purdue's not on. What will you watch this weekend?
I will be going home because this weekend, it just so happens that this weekend is the perfect weekend for the Purdue's bye to be, because it's our yearly college and high school friends get together for a whiskey fest, PU Fall Cities. I'm talking to you.
What?
In Indianapolis, north side of Indianapolis. My. Going home, seeing the boys, drinking whiskey. It'll be good.
So you won't be watching any football this weekend?
No, so that's on Friday. So Saturday we'll be horribly hungover with whatever is on.
You got Texas, Oklahoma, both of them ranked at noon, playing in the Cotton Bowl.
Here's a team that I always watch because I think he's the best coach in the country. If you give me one coach, I am going to take him. And I think you know my answer already. Maybe we've talked about this.
Wait. I'm trying to see what games are on. Is it because he's playing?
I don't know. I always end up watching his games at the end of the night.
South Florida?
No, it's always it's always David Washington. Shaw. It's always Washington.
Oh, he's great.
Chris Peterson is the best coach in the country. I think he is the most brilliant coach in the country. He's the coach that would succeed, the college coach that would succeed at the NFL level outside of Lincoln Riley. Those two are brilliant, and I will watch them. Those are my two teams that I watch whenever they're on TV, Washington and Oklahoma. They are awesome.
So Washington plays at UCLA at 7:30 p.m. Fox.
Against Chip. Yes, I am watching that.
Ooh, by the way, UCLA, do you know UCLA is 0-4?
Yeah, it's just like the Frost thing. Like the new hires aren't doing well, except for your boy at Arizona State.
Herm!
Oh, he's so good.
Herm.
Oh, he's the best.
Oh, Herm. Well, you know, the good thing about him getting a good start is that he's not going anywhere, which is freaking amazing. I never wanted him to go anywhere. I was afraid we weren't going to get very much of Herm.
With the amount of public people that are in my life right now that I would rather have not in my life, Herm Edwards is one of those public people that I just keep feeding me more Herm
Edwards. So he's 3-2. And they go to Colorado, who's 4-0 and ranked. Yeah. Good for you, Colorado.
McIntyre, right? Or Bobo, one of them. Anyway,
I've lost track. I think it was, I thought it was, no, Bubba was Colorado State, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, there's not too much going out in the Pac-12 that I would say, although Washington State plays at Oregon State. Did you know, by the way, by the freaking way, did you know Mike Riley was back on the staff at Oregon State this year?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Mike Riley, man.
He went back there as a, as like a defensive coordinator or something. It's something weird. Like legit. And then he just took the job in the AAFL or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah.
In he's, back he's in San Antonio.
Deuced. He's just gone.
Where he coached in the, in the whatever that football league was that had a team. In, he's coached football in San Antonio before. It's so weird the way coaches are. Let's talk about creatures of habit. It's so strange.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird life to live, but anyway.
So Andy Moshberger, and his handle is Bill Said What. I don't really know what the connection is to a guy named Andy, but Andy asks, gives us a would you rather, and then he shits a bourbon related would you rather. He says, would you rather no more bourbon? Why do you do this to us, guys? Why do you put us in these like Sophie's Choice positions? No more bourbon, but Purdue wins the West this year, or Purdue finishes one game out of the West, but you get bourbon.
No, I will sacrifice the bourbon.
Yeah, if it puts them in the Big Ten title game, then I get to drink bourbon on December 1st in the big during the Big Ten title game.
That's so, that's 2 months. It's probably healthy for me. I should probably be doing probably that anyway. So it's 2 months without bourbon and Purdue plays.
I go back to Big Ten for a while. I
mean, where's the Big Ten championship game this year? Is it back in Indy?
Oh, I think it's always in Indy.
No, because they could play it in D.C. You never know what the Big Ten.
Ben tournament. Yeah. It might be in Giant Stadium. No one knows.
Yeah, exactly. Who the hell knows? But go back to Indianapolis, my hometown, to go and watch Purdue play in the Big Ten championship game and drink bourbon for the first time in 2 weeks. Come on.
Over this montage of Anish entering the city.
That's me.
Yeah, I agree. I'd give a bourbon for 2 months.
Yeah.
It's easy. Yeah. Easy. Let's see here. Oh, so Handel Jones says it's been a year since Joe Tiller passed. I'm not sure if they've honored him in naming something after him, but it got me thinking, would you rather have a court or field, you know, a playing field of some kind, named after you, or a building or a street? That's an interesting question.
So the urban legend, who knows if this actually happened, but the biomedical engineering school was raising money during Martin Jiskey was president. And so he raised a ton of the money, Jiskey did, and all Purdue presidents get something named after them. So Jiskey had the biomedical engineering building named after him. Now, the biggest benefactor of the biomedical engineering school was a man by the name of Mr. Weldon. And according to Mr. Weldon, it is better to have a school named after you because they cannot tear it down. Buildings they can always tear down. Streets they can always rename and rip up.
The Krannert School of Management is not going anywhere, even if they tear the building down.
Even if they tear the building down. So urban legend has that quote attributed to Mr. Weldon, the benefactor for the biomedical engineering school. That may be the answer.
Do you see what you get here when you ask a question of the Handsome Hour? I'm very proud of the fact that we've never been stumped. So not that I'm saying I want to challenge you.
I will say anything. I will monologue for a little bit on any topic.
So I just noticed I got distracted, Anish, because Supersonics was trending on Twitter. But I think it's because I think because some schmuck on WWE mentioned them. And oh gosh, this may just end the show. Would you rather from I Gotta Go to Work, Z Young Bowler? Bowler. I don't know this guy. He says, would you rather sit in a car for a 3-hour trip with Dan Dakich or Matt Millen?
No, if you said Dan Dakich or spiders, I would have chosen the spiders. I'm sorry, Dan. I know you're listening. You Google your name no matter what. I know you're listening, Dan. That was just a joke. I'm sorry. I know you Google your name. So I'm sure this appears somewhere on the internet. And so you're listening.
Please don't mention him in the description. We don't want
to. Exactly. Oh, Matt Millen. Yeah, give me Matt Millen.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Because I get to hear things like, what was it? They wet themselves? Is that what he said?
He said about Martinez on the last I put down play. He said, oh, he peed his pants.
He peed his
pants. That's exactly how he said it, too. He goes, oh, he peed his pants right there. You can't do that.
Yes, I will take him. Yes, yes. It'll be an entertaining 3-hour car ride. I don't have to hear Dan Dockage.
Zachary Welch asks, and he says this is for basketball and football. So this would be more fun probably for basketball because he says, if you could add one boiler from last year's team to this year's squad, who would it be and why? So, man, like I said, I think it's easier with basketball.
With basketball, my answer would probably be Dakota.
Really?
Dakota Mathias. I think with this team, he probably fits a little better than Vince. But yeah, I think Dakota would be my answer. Because this team, kind of low-key, is not going to be as good of a shooting team as last year. And Dakota is a little bit more reliable. He's a playmaker. There's no real true point guard on this team anymore. And yeah, I don't know. You can't really go wrong with either Dakota or Vince, but yeah.
Not Haas?
No, no. Over it's the era of Matt Harms, so.
You know what I was thinking today is that between Harms and Boudreaux, other fan bases are going to have a lot of comments on Purdue's appearance this year.
Boudreaux is going to become a folk hero. I hope everybody's ready.
What did I say to you guys? He is the sweaty, knee pad wearing guy at the Y that you play with, right?
He's Brian Cardinal, yes.
But more Brian Cardinal Brian Cardinal almost, yeah. Right? Absolutely. That's the amazing thing. He's what we've all sort of, you know,
caricatured.
Yeah, that's what we made Brian Cardinal into, and this is like the embodiment of that. He really is. Like,
is the football answer Bentley? Or not Bentley? Yeah.
Yeah.
Before he did whatever he did to himself to end
his. That's a great answer. That's a great answer. Because I was thinking offense, but offense isn't really the problem.
No, not really. Defense, I think.
Defense Bentley, is the problem. Yeah.
Putting Bentley in what's his face would be just a 1-2 linebacker.
Have trouble winning. You know, you talked about the games they got to win.
Marcus Bailey, I apologize for not remembering your name there.
You talked about how Purdue has to win certain games and they're going to need to steal one. It's going to be hard when the defense is trying. They're playing well. They're scheming well. Coach Holt is doing great things. They're just kind of young. And they're having trouble holding teams down, right? They're giving up points to almost everyone. A lot to, what did they get, 28 to Nebraska? Sorry, mute button got stuck. So yeah, that's a good answer.
I think that's probably it. Yeah, and that linebacking core all of a sudden becomes fearful. So
right?
Fearsome, not fearful. Fearful is full of fear. They need to be fearsome.
We're scared.
Yeah. the balls hiked and they start running around in panic every time.
So interestingly, Vernon Buddy 24/7. He says, as the defense turned a corner, are we going to see this defense play this tough the rest of the way? I sure hope so, because I don't know that they've turned a corner. I don't know how you'd look at the Nebraska game and say, oh, yep, that's the guys we need, because I think they wilted a little. I think they got tired.
They got tired, but I think, again, like you said, it's a young defense. And so the more reps they get together, I think the better they'll be. And next year, I do think they'll be a really strong unit. Mm-hmm. And so this year is the transition year.
For a couple of years too, I think, right? Yeah. Because you'll have all these young guys mm-hmm. without experience, and then you're bringing in more talent and a couple of years playing together. I think you're right. You know, 19 will be fun. I think you're right. 2020, if you get them back for a couple of years, I think 2020 is
that both 19 and 20 is going to be so great, fun. Which is why you can scrape the bucket this year. And if you can win the bowl and you can keep Brom or you get to a bowl, keep Brom, all three of those things. Oh, that's a dream
great
season.
Year.
That's a dream season.
Yeah. 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 We'd like to once again thank our sponsor, Martin Vintage.
Thank you, Martin. Mr. Vintage.
Enter Boiled at checkout. Get 20% off whatever you're ordering from their site. good stuff, good shirts, good people, good things. Purdue grads, good luck to see them succeed. And we'd also like to once again give a shout out to our friend Tyler. Tyler, stay strong, keep plugging, get rest, get well. Congrats on the degree. You got yours a lot faster than I got mine.
Yeah, that's right. And probably with a better GPA too.
But both. No, probably about it.
Yeah. See you.
You've been listening to the Boyle Sports Handsome Hour, and we'll be back with you most likely next week, even though there's a bye, because we just like talking to you.
We got, and Boiler Dowd will be back, so, because Boiler Dowd loves talking. So we got content for you.
And eating.
That's right.
Love you guys. Good night.